Welcome to Provo, Utah. Just another part of our GXO Tour and Travel Limited Urban Experience Package. Utah has plenty of breathtaking scenery, which is why it's so shocking that so many people don't like visiting. Kalish travelers complain that despite its beauty, there's nothing to do when you're in Provo. But maybe you're a tourist that wants to get away from the hustle and bustle of typical destination vacations. If so, Provo is the spot for you. About the only things to do in Provo is go to a restaurant or temple. And if you're not Mormon, then it's just restaurants. With well over 110,000 living there, it is the sleepiest college town. With no alcohol or drugs for distraction, you can finally get to know your family for who they really are. Provo, Utah. Some say it's boring. Others say it's just Provo being Provo. Now, doesn't that sound like fun? Just another location, the GXO Tour and Travel Limited Urban Experience Package. To book your trip to Provo, Utah, contact Hans Hoth or Ivana Tinkle, one of our many travel experts at GXO Tour and Travel.
Due to the extreme nature of this program, listener discretion is advised. The subject matters may include topics of substance usage, sex, historical events that may be sensitive to some listeners, and foul language. Things discussed may not be considered politically correct in this overly sensitive environment. They may not be appropriate for listeners under the age of 13, as well as some listeners may find things offensive no matter the age. Again, listener discretion is advised.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to the third season of GXO Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for, talking about things that are relatable to Generation X, historical events, TV, movies, and music. And if you're lucky, this old fart might just regale you with a story or two. I'm Robert Pop, your host, coming to you from beautiful Podunk, Nebraska.
This portion of the show is brought to you by GXO Tour and Travel, booking trips to places that aren't as bad as what you heard.
Reno, Nevada lures in travelers and gamblers for its vibrant casinos, giving the helpless gambler a place to go after being tossed out or even barred from all the casinos in Vegas. But despite the luck, lights, and glamour promised to gambling tourists, Reno also offers the Riverwalk. The Riverwalk is a water and sculpture path built in the middle of this seedy little rundown town. Reno also offers some of the most overhyped tourist traps in the United States, and that's saying something. Reno is the destination for migrants seeking to take advantage of Nevada's relatively lax divorce laws and gain the city a national reputation as the divorce mill. So if you realize you made a serious error in judgment and need to get rid of that pesky unwanted spouse, come to Reno, part of our GXO Tour and Travel Limited Urban Experience Package, and ditch that bitch, or make your husband a wasbin. Now, doesn't that sound like fun? Just another location in our GXO Tour and Travel Limited Urban Experience Package to book your trip to Reno, the wish version of Vegas. Come and tag Annie Position or Betty Fuckers, one of our many travel experts at GXO Tour and Travel. GXO Tour and Travel, booking trips to places that aren't as bad as what you've heard.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to the first episode of Season 3 of GXO Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for. I just want to reach out to all of my listeners, those of you who have sent me fond wishes during my surgery and my recovery. I certainly do appreciate it. I also want to thank all of those folks that commented, because as you know, I was a bit nervous about putting myself out there. I mean, I'm doing a podcast, but actually my own writings for both the Thanksgiving and the Christmas specials. And very kind words. And the suggestions have definitely not landed on deaf ears. I know I probably should have put a break in there for the Thanksgiving one about halfway through the story. By the way, all of you that sent me, did that really happen? That is a huge compliment to me, because that means I told the story well and I wrote it accordingly. And that was very cool that I had so many people reaching out to me on that. For the Christmas one, my suggestions that I got a couple of different times is it could have been longer. I could have stretched it out a little bit, maybe give it a little more detail. But nonetheless, thank you all so much for your kind words. I'll let you know how my surgery went. I'm becoming the bionic man, and now I have two fake knees, replaced knees. And you know, I tried to get them to go ahead and put a speaker on the outside. I even told them I'd pay extra to make the bionic sounds when I'm walking, when I'm running, when I'm doing anything, and they wouldn't do it. And that was kind of a disappointment for me. So I had the surgery the first week of December. The 9th of December is when I had my surgery. And 3 years prior, this coming March, is when I had my right knee replaced. The left knee was just replaced this last December. It's amazing how quickly I'm healing off of this one. The other one, granted, I had a job that I absolutely hated, so I really milked it, plus the fact I had a second income in the house. And no matter how much I keep asking Harley to go get a job, she just won't. She could be a drug dog. She could be, you know, whatever. Anyway, so having just the one income, I think maybe has motivated me to get better quicker. And also, I don't have anybody that can wait on me hand and foot. I tried to teach her how to just go to the fridge and bring me a bottle of water or shit like that. So here it is. Today is the 25th. Of January. I've got 6 weeks behind me from my surgery, and honestly, where I'm at, I would say that I'm just damn near where I was with my right knee at about 10 weeks, and it has just been incredible how quickly I am healing. So again, thank you for your thoughts and prayers, positive energy out there into the universe. I really do appreciate it. So today, for our kickoff, I guess that's what I'll call it, we're going to talk about a double historical event that happened in 1981, and that is when President Reagan got shot, and then Pope John Paul II got shot, all in the same year. So when we come back from this short break, we're going to jump in, and we are going to talk about the history that happened in 1981. Also, don't forget that we have this laid out more like your local evening news with world headlines, national headlines, sports, weather, entertainment, crime beat, obituaries, music, movies, and TV. And with that being said, stick around after these words from some of my fake sponsors.
This portion of the show is brought to you by GXO Tour and Travel. Booking trips to places that aren't as bad as what you heard.
It seems like Detroit has been in a state of rebuilding for decades now. Although the downtown area has been given a facelift, many travelers say all bets are off once you leave the downtown area. One traveler who wished to remain anonymous said, quote, "Every street I saw had abandoned homes, and that it looked like there had been a war there." Another man said, "It's disturbing to see a city in such terrible shape. However, if you're looking for a real adventure, come to Detroit. As a part of our GXO Tour and Travel Limited Urban Experience Package, Take a scenic drive past the closed car manufacturing plants. Explore abandoned buildings. Sit and have an authentic Detroit-style picnic with any of Detroit's many homeless. And the adventure doesn't stop there when the sun goes down. One traveler said, it's like being in a large-scale escape room. Another said she felt like she was playing an extreme version of paintball and hide-and-seek. Now, doesn't that sound like fun? To book your trip to Detroit, contact Phil Lacio or Pearl Necklace, one of our many travel experts at GXO Tour and Travel. GXO Tour and Travel, booking trips to places that aren't as bad as what you heard.
The views and opinions expressed are just that, Rob's views and opinions. He is not always politically correct, and they may not match up with your own opinions. It is not his intentions to offend anyone. Hopefully you find the shows entertaining and informative as well. Please note, Rob is not a professional historian, but he has done a lot of research for this show. With that being said, mistakes happen, but he will do his best to minimize those. Keep in mind, Rob is just some nut with a microphone.
Okay, welcome back from that break. Today, as I said, we're going to be talking about the year that President Reagan and Pope John Paul II both were shot, 1981. So, world leaders at the time, we had the late Jimmy Carter, who just recently passed away. He was in the Oval Office until, what is it, January 20th? 21st, whatever it is, whenever Inauguration Day is, 1981. And from that moment on, President Reagan took over. Over in the United Kingdom, Margaret Thatcher was Prime Minister. And over in the USSR, Leonid Brezhnev, with that big-ass, bushy eyebrows. In world news, British police arrest a man by the name of Peter Sutcliffe. He was later known as the Yorkshire Ripper, murdered three women, and he was sentenced to life for each one of those murders. Pope John Paul II received Lech Walesa and solidarity delegation at the Vatican from Poland. President of the Philippines, Ferdinand Marcos, ends martial law that began in September of 1972. Iran accepts the U.S. offer of $7.9 billion in frozen assets. United States and Iran sign an agreement to release 52 American hostages, and that was on the 19th, 1981. They were not going to deal with Jimmy. They just said, fuck you, we're going to wait till Ronnie's the new president. So that way there he doesn't get the credit for it. United States diplomats and citizens held hostage at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran are released and begin their journey home after 444 days. And that was on January 20th, 1981. And we did cover that. So if you're interested, go back and find that. The Motherland Monument at 203 feet high is opened in Kiev, Ukraine, in a ceremony attended by Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev. You know, I wonder, did they blow that shit up when the USS was destroyed and now that Putin's trying to rebuild it and take back their territories? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Reggae musician Bob Marley, he received a Jamaican state funeral. That's a high honor. A teenager fired six blanks at Queen Elizabeth II. Now, what the fuck did she ever do to piss anybody off? I don't get that. 12-bottle case of a 1979 Napa Medoc, and I know I probably mispronounced that, I'm sorry, Cabernet wine, auctioned for $24,000. Holy bones. $2,000 a bottle? Fuck me. And the Soviet submarine, a U-137, ran aground on the east coast of Sweden. What the fuck are they spying on the Swedes for? They're looking for they looking for a recipe for meatballs? Fuck, who knows? Here in the United States, Ronald Reagan was inaugurated as the 40th president. Chrysler Corporation reports the largest corporate losses in U.S. history. Now, I want to just take a moment because I'm a Dodge guy. I've got a Dodge pickup. I got a Dodge car. The last X had two Jeeps. I mean, yeah, so I'm kind of baptized in the Dodge. For Chrysler reporting those losses, you got to look at what the fuck they were producing. I mean, they were shit cars. They just were shit. Two workers were killed in a Space Shuttle Columbia accident. That was when they were building it. Computer glitch keeps the Space Shuttle Columbia grounded. And then finally, the maiden voyage transit system Space Shuttle Columbia launched. And then after 2 days and 6 hours in space, it come back down. So, great. And we did. We used the fuck out of that thing. More than $3.3 million is stolen from the First National Bank of Arizona in Tucson, Arizona. Wow. The United States ended the grain embargo against the Soviet Union. The AIDS epidemic officially began when U.S. Centers for Disease Control reports on pneumonia affecting five homosexual men in Los Angeles. Mark David Chapman pled guilty to killing former Beatle John Lennon and is sentenced to 20 years to life. I'm not a Beatle fan, but really? What, I mean, why? I don't see the purpose in that. It was such a waste. 13,000 air traffic controllers begin their strike, and President Reagan says, fuck off, I'm not going to put up with this shit. And he offers them an ultimatum to workers. If they don't report for work within 48 hours, they have forfeited their jobs and they will be terminated. And he wasn't joking. Because then, 2 days later, President Reagan fired 11,500 striking air traffic controllers. And that's the reason why we had a lot of plane crashes in the 80s. Because John the janitor was now landing planes. So, but he made a point. The USDA approved aspartame artificial sweetener for tabletop use following years of scrutiny. And I will say this, my parents had this belief that I was a bit hyperactive, and I'm probably not going to deny that, but they thought that, you know what, we're going to keep him off sugar. And so my grandparents, my grandpa especially, he had diabetes, as Wilford Brimley would say, diabetes. And they had the liquid of that shit. Oh, God. Oh, it tastes just like shit. No, fuck it, did. No. They have come a long way with that fake shit. And that sucked. And then finally, the United States national debt topped $1 trillion. With a T, dollars. In sports, boxer Leon Spinks is mugged. The fucking muggers even took his gold teeth. Larry Holmes TKO'd Spinks in 3 rounds. Well, maybe it was Larry Holmes that fucking mugged him for the heavyweight champion title. 20-year-old Edmonton center, the great one, Wayne Gretzky, becomes the first player in the NHL to ever score a 5-career hat trick before the age of 21. Becomes the fastest NHLer to get 100 points in a season. Los Angeles Dodgers' Fernando Valenzuela, he makes his MLB debut. By the way, we just recently lost him. You can find him and all of the other people that passed away in 2024 on the Paying Tribute tab on the website. And mid-season strike by MLB players ends after 42 days, causing the cancellation across American League, National League, cancellation of 713 games. Players and owners come to an agreement on the free agent compensation. In weather, I've been where it was cold, right here in Nebraska. But this was in Chester, Massachusetts that year. It's a negative 35 degrees. Damn. I mean, no matter how much of a macho guy you are, you end up with two belly buttons at that point, and they're both innies. I mean, holy shit, that's cold. In the world of entertainment, Walter Cronkite signs off as the anchorman of the CBS Evening News, and that's the way it was 1981. Nintendo released the arcade game Donkey Kong. Now, those of you who are listening, how many of you guys just kept shoving quarters into that fucker? I know I did. I know I did. And, yeah. And I can still hear that. You know, I can still hear that in my head. That shit's living rent-free in my head. The music video cable channel, MTV, debuted in the United States at 12:01 a.m. with the song, I hope y'all can name it with me, The Buggles, Video Killed the Radio Star. That was their very first song. New added feature this season, we're going to be talking about some weird and wacky headlines. So, in the weird and wacky headlines, Barbara Sontag of Colorado crocheted record 147 stitches a minute for a half hour straight. Fuck, I think I could do one stitch in a half hour. And I don't know why. That just does not stick in my head. Phil Smith and Phil Mayhew become the first two people to base jump from objects in all four categories. Buildings, cliffs, bridges, and antenna after parachuting off of a Houston skyscraper. I have no fucking idea why. The largest Jell-O is made 9,246 gallons of watermelon-flavored Jell-O. I'm really glad it's not one of those 70s molds where, you know, they fucking put Brussels sprouts and peas and tuna fish and, you know, melted crayons and everything else in those. Those are just that. Yeah, it's nostalgic, but, you throw up a little bit in the back of your throat every time you see pictures of that, especially if you had to clean your plate like I did. And then finally, in the weird and wacky headlines, the heaviest known orange, 2.5 kilograms, was exhibited in Nelspruit, South Africa. On the crime beat, the first homicide at Disneyland, the funnest place on earth. An 18-year-old man, Mel Yorba, is stabbed to death during a fight with James O'Driscoll after allegedly pinching his girlfriend's butt. Yeah, you know, I don't know that I would stab somebody, but I'll guarantee I'd throat punch him. Notable deaths that year. Natalie Wood died. Here's a really bad taste joke that was out about that time. What kind of wood don't float? Natalie Wood. That's gross. And the thing is on that, her husband, is still considered a fucking suspect. They just don't have any freaking evidence on him. So, you know, when you see him playing number two in Austin Powers, it's a little too close to home. William Holden, he passed away. He was in The Great Escape. Jack Albertson, he was in Willy Wonka. He was Grandpa, and then he was also on Chico and the Man. Richard Boone, Have Gun, Will Travel was what he was known for. And I got to say, one of my many ex-wives had a thing for him. Jim Davis, Jock Ewing on Dallas, died unexpectedly. I already mentioned Bob Marley. And then something that we discussed, I believe it was in the first season in Are You Being Served? Harold Bennett, who played young Mr. Grace, passed away. And he wasn't young. In the music store, top five songs in the U.S. on the pop charts. She's Got Betty Davis Eyes by Kim Carnes. Endless Love by Diana Ross and Lionel Richie. Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield. I'm always envious of Jesse's grill. He's got one of them great big, never mind. Woman by John Lennon and Celebration by Kool and the Gang. Top five songs on the U.S. R&B chart. Let's Groove by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Turn Your Love Around by George Benson. I Can't Go For That, No Can Do by Hall & Oates. You're My Latest, My Greatest Inspiration by Teddy Pendergrass. You don't hear anything about Teddy Pendergrass. You know, I think he was just kind of swept aside. I really think that he could have held in there and been like Barry White and Luther Vandross, but it is what it is. And Take My Heart, You Have It If You Want It by Kool and the Gang. Top five songs on the country chart. Love in the First Degree, Ride the Train. I don't think I ever heard that second part of that verse. And that was by Abilama. The Woman in Me by Crystal Gayle. Watching Girls Go by Ronnie McDowell. I gotta relate with that. Redneck Love Making Night by Conway Twitty. And Lord, I Hope This Day Is Good by Don Williams. Saw Conway and Don Williams in concert. On the one-hit wonders, and there's a bonus in here. Normally I just do five, but my bonus has to be this one. The Greatest American Hero theme, Believe It or Not, by Mr. Joey Scarberry. Still love that song. Every time I hear that and I stumble across The Greatest American Hero, I continue to get goosebumps. It's weird. My Girl by Chilliwack. Sausalito Summer by Diesel. I have an ex-wife that used to make fun of the way I would say Diesel, because she said, oh, it sounds like you say it with a Z. You don't know how to say the word leash. Just the Two of Us by Grover Washington and Bill Withers. And Somebody's Knockin', Terry Gibbs. In the Movie Theater. Man, there was some good, and there was some bad, and there was some ugly. On Golden Pond. I've seen it. I wouldn't say it's one of my favorites, but I had seen it. Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, great movie. The Road Warrior, great movie. Fox and the Hound. Oh, the Hound Dog. Halloween 2. Escape from New York. Scanners. Friday the 13th 2. American Werewolf in London. Mommy Dearest. Porky's. Now, I'm going to take a moment for all you guys that saw Porky's, but would never admit that you saw Porky's. I mean, all you have to do to know is, you know, and I hate using the phrases that are out there today, but if you know, you know. Lassie and see, I can't even keep a straight face when I say Lassie. Tarzan, Taps. Oh, God, this, oh, This was such a stinker. Oh, my God. Caveman with Ringo Starr and Shelley Long. For Your Eyes Only, that was our Bond film for the year. Stripes. Love that movie. Arthur. Cannonball Run. Love that movie. Endless Love. The Four Seasons. Now, I will say The Four Seasons for, I guess, better words, a chick flick. Romantic comedy. Good movie. And The Howling. On TV. Oh, fuck. This was a waste of time for people who made it and people who watched it. The Brady Brides. And I swear to God, I am still, after three seasons, I am still looking for someone to debate me why the Partridges are so much better than them fucking Bradys. God, I hate the Bradys. Brett Maverick, that was a Western with James Garner bringing that character back. Concrete Cowboys, Dynasty, Elvira's Movie Macabre. Oh, God. For a preteen, thank you, Elvira. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Entertainment Tonight, Falcon Crest, The Fall Guy. Love The Fall Guy. I have not seen the new one. The movie that they did is a knockoff of that. Mainly because, who is it that's in that? I think it was Ryan Gosling. I looked at it and I'm like, pass. Father Murphy, Give Me a Break. Nell Carter, loved her. The Great Space Coaster. That is one of those fucked up Croft productions. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, the theme song for The Greatest American Hero, because that debuted in 1981. Harper Valley PTA, if I remember right, that series had Jeannie, Barbara Eden in that. The Herculoids, that was kind of a strange cartoon. And then, oh, God, I love this cop show, Hill Street Blues. The Kid Superpower Hour with Shazam. Laverne and Shirley, they debuted. Love, Sydney, wasn't a real big fan of that. Mr. Merlin. Let's see, I don't remember that one at all. Nero Wolf, that was a mystery show. The New Adventures of Zorro. Night Flight, I don't remember that. Open All Night, don't remember that. The People's Court, Private Benjamin. One of my favorite comedy shows. SCTV. Simon and Simon. The Smurfs. God, I hate the fucking Smurfs. Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. Today's FBI. The Two of Us. And Walking Tall. That was the TV series. And, of course, our topic for today, unfortunately, President Reagan and the Pope both got shot. So stick around after a few words from some of my fake sponsors.
This portion of the show is brought to you by GXO Tour and Travel. Booking trips to places that aren't as bad as what you've heard.
Cleveland, Ohio. Some call it the mistake by the lake. Others, Blight City, which neither is completely wrong. But when you visit Cleveland, as part of our GXO Tour and Travel Limited Urban Experience Package, you can see firsthand why Cleveland is the only city in the world with a river that caught on fire. You can also enjoy bad weather, long winters, horrible road conditions, lots of construction, and some really crappy sports teams. But don't forget, it also has the Cleveland Museum of Art and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And for the true adventurer, you can visit Cleveland Park, known for its diverse environment, including drugs, hookers, and gay activity. But that doesn't mean you won't meet some of the nicest citizens in Cleveland. Now, doesn't that sound like fun? Just another location in the GXO Tour and Travel Limited Urban Experience Package. To book your trip to Cleveland, contact Hans Hoth or Ivana Tinkle, one of our many travel experts at GXO Tour and Travel.
Any claims of time travel are purely fictitious and are only meant for entertainment purposes. And honestly, if you believe Rob can travel through time, I only have one question for you. What the hell is wrong with you?
Okay, welcome back from that break. This is going to be a little bit different for me. So, two major events happened in 1981. And like I said, I'm going to cover them both, but in a condensed version. You're welcome to find any documentaries, anything as such. Like I said, I am just cruising over the events that led up to everything. So, March 30th, United States President Ronald Reagan is shot and wounded in an assassination attempt by John Hinckley. Three others were also wounded. On May 13th, Pope John Paul II is shot and critically wounded by Turkish gunman Mehmet Ali Aka. I know I butchered that, and, you know, I doubt he's listening, so I don't give a fuck. In St. Peter's Square at Vatican City. May 27th, John Hinckley attempted suicide by overdose on Tylenol. I don't know, how the fuck do you do that? Take a shit ton of Tylenol and then, I don't know, cut your finger? Just try to bleed out? I don't know. On June 3rd, Pope John Paul II is released from the hospital after the assassination attempt. On June 20th, Pope John Paul II is hospitalized again for 55 days for infection. July 22nd, Turkish terrorist, not even going to try to say his name, is sentenced to life imprisonment in a court in Rome, Italy. And on August 28th, John Hinckley pleads innocent to attempting to assassinate United States President Ronald Reagan. So that's the timeline. So we're going to start with President Reagan. On March 30th, President Reagan was shot and wounded by John Hinckley in Washington, D.C. as he was returning to his limousine after a speaking engagement at the Washington Hilton. Hinckley believed the attack would impress actress Jodie Foster, with whom he had developed a erotomaniac obsession. Basically, that's like a fanatic. I mean, serious fanatic stalking. Hey, I'm going to show you how much I love you. Reagan was seriously wounded by a bullet that ricocheted off of the side of the presidential limousine and hit him in the left underarm, breaking a rib, puncturing a lung, and causing serious internal bleeding. He was close to death upon arrival at George Washington University Hospital, but was stabilized in the emergency room, and then he underwent emergency surgery. He recovered and was released from the hospital on April 11th. No formal invocation of Sections 3 or 4 of the Constitution's 25th Amendment concerning the vice president, assuming the presidential powers and duties, took place. Although, dumbass, Secretary of State Alexander Haig stated publicly on television he was, quote, in control here at the White House until Vice President George H.W. Bush, King George I, returned to Washington from Fort Worth. Haig was actually the fourth in line of succession after Bush. Speaker of the House Tip O'Neill, President pro tempore of the Senate Strom Thurmond, and then this fucking dumbass. Wow. You would think that a Secretary of State would know the pecking order. Fuck. White House Press Secretary James Brady, Secret Service Agent Tim McCarthy, and D.C. police officer Thomas Delatte were also wounded. All three survived, but Brady had serious brain damage and was permanently disabled. His death in 2014 was considered a homicide because it was ultimately caused by his injury due to the shooting. Hinckley was found not guilty by reason of insanity on charges attempting to assassinate the president. He remained confined to St. Elizabeth's Hospital, a D.C. psychiatric facility. In January 2015, federal prosecutors announced that they would not charge Hinckley with Brady's death, despite the medical examiner's classification of his death as a homicide. See, I don't know how I feel about that. I just don't know. Because he was actually found to be fucking nuts? I don't know. I still would have had that out there. The assassination attempt was captured on videotape by several cameras, including those belonging to the Big Three networks. Reagan's staff members were anxious for the president to appear to be recovering quickly, and the morning after his operation, he saw visitors and signed a piece of legislation. Reagan then left the hospital on the morning of April 11th. Entering a limousine was difficult. He joked that the first thing he would do at home was sit down. Reagan's recovery speed impressed doctors, but they advised the president not work in the Oval Office for at least a week and avoid travel for several weeks. Reagan believed that God had spared his life so that he may go on to fulfill a greater purpose, and although not Catholic, meeting with Mother Teresa, Cardinal Cook, and fellow shooting survivor Pope John Paul II reinforced that belief. Reagan returned to the Oval Office on April 25th and received a standing ovation from staff and cabinet members. He referred to their teamwork in his absence and insisted, "I should be applauding you." See, there's a guy with class. No matter how you think about him politically, that has class. Something we've lacked for quite a while. Hinckley was found not guilty by reason of insanity on June 21st, 1982. The defense psychiatric reports had found him to be insane, while the prosecution report declared him legally sane. Hinckley was confined at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in D.C. full-time until 2006, at which point he began a program of spending more and more time at his mom's house. On September 10, 2016, Hinckley was permitted to permanently leave the hospital to live with his mom full-time, under court supervision and with mandatory psychiatric treatment. After his trial, he wrote that the shooting was, quote, "the greatest love offering in the history of the world," end quote, and did not indicate any regret of doing it at the time. Elsewhere in the world, less than 2 months later, on May 13, 1981, in St. Peter's Square in Vatican City, Pope John Paul II was shot and wounded by Mehmet Ali Agha, while he was entering the square. The Pope was struck twice and suffered severe blood loss. I'm going to just call him the shooter because I can't fucking pronounce his name. The shooter was apprehended immediately and later sentenced to life in prison by an Italian court. The Pope forgave the shooter for the assassination attempt and was pardoned by Italian President Carlo Azeghillo Ciampi at the Pope's request and was deported to Turkey in 2000. The shooter converted to Catholicism in 2007. Give you a little history on this dude. 1979, the shooter described the Pope as the, quote, "masked leader of the Crusades," and threatened to shoot him if he did not cancel his plans to visit Turkey, which the Pope went ahead and did in late November 79. Beginning in August 1980, the shooter under the alias Valpieri, God, that ain't any better. I still can't fucking pronounce it, entered Rome on the 10th of May, 1981, coming by train from Milan. According to the shooter's later testimony, he met with three accomplices in Rome, one a fellow Turk and two Bulgarians. Fucking Bulgarians. Man, you just can't trust them assholes. No. According to the shooter, the plan was for him and the backup German, Oral Selig, to open fire on the Pope in St. Peter's Square and escape to the Bulgarian embassy under the cover of the panic generated by a small explosion. On May 13th, the shooter sat in the square, writing postcards and waiting for the Pope to arrive. When the Pope passed through a crowd of supporters, the shooter fired four shots and critically wounded him. The shooter then fled the scene as the crowd was in shock and disposed of the pistol by throwing it under a truck, but was grabbed by Vatican security. A nun, I would have loved to have seen this, a nun and several spectators prevented him from firing more shots or escaping as he was arrested. Is that where we get the name nunchucks? Because Sister, I'm going to kick your ass was like, oh, I don't think so. Two bullets hit Pope John Paul II, one of them in his torso, narrowly missing vital organs, and a second one hit his left index finger. Two bystanders were also injured. The Pope was immediately rushed to the hospital while authorities combed the site for evidence. The shooter was sentenced in July of 81 to life imprisonment for the assassination attempt. As I said, was pardoned in 2000 at the Pope's request, then extradited to Turkey, where he was imprisoned for the 1979 murder of left-wing journalist Abdi, I'm not even going to try the last name. I don't think I have enough phlegm in the back of my throat to do that. And two bank raids carried out in the 1970s, despite a plea for early release in November 2004. The Turkish court announced that he would not be eligible for release until 2010. He was then released on parole in January 2006. However, also in 2006, the Turkish Supreme Court ruled that his time served in Italy would not be deducted from his Turkish sentence and was returned to jail immediately. He then was released from prison in January 2010, after almost 29 years behind bars. Following the shooting, Pope John Paul II asked people to, quote, pray for my brother, whom I have sincerely forgiven. That is a, that, no wonder he's a saint. No wonder he's a saint. I mean, look at that. Me? Oh, no. I'm sitting there saying, you shoot me, you know what? I'm going to throw the fucking switch. Not the Pope. Not the Pope. In 1983, the Pope and the shooter met and spoke privately at Rome's Bibbia prison, where the shooter was being held. The shooter reportedly kissed the Pope's ring at the conclusion of their visit. Some mistakenly thought the Pope was hearing the shooter's confession. The Pope was also in touch with the shooter's family over the decades, meeting his mother in 1987 and his brother a decade later. Although the shooter was quoted as saying that, to me, the Pope was the incarnation of all that is capitalism, and attempted to murder him, the shooter developed a friendship with the Pope. In early February 2005, during the Pope's illness, the shooter sent a letter to the Pope wishing him well. The date of the attempted assassination, May 13, 1981, was the 64th anniversary of the first apparition of the Virgin Mary to the children at Fatima. That happened in 1917 for my Catholic brothers and sisters out there. On May 13th, 2000, Cardinal Angelo Sodano gave a public address in which he linked the then-as-yet unreleased third secret of Fatima to the assassination attempt, while describing the secret as a prophetic vision, which does not describe with photographic clarity the details of future events. He also identified the prophecy's bishop clothed in white, as of course the Pope, if you are Catholic or you just pay attention, the Pope is typically in white, and repeated the Pope John Paul II's impression that, quote, a motherly hand had deflected the shooter's bullets. The Vatican revealed the text of the third secret itself the same year on June 26th, 2000. In 2010, the shooter asserted that Cardinal Casaroli had been behind the assassination attempt. However, when the shooter published his memoirs in 2013, his story changed completely, writing that the Iranian government and supreme leader Ayatollah Ashollah Khomeini ordered the assassination attempt on the Pope. Well, don't y'all feel just a whole lot smarter after this? If you didn't remember it or you didn't know about it, there you go. I want to thank you for joining me back again, third season. Sorry it took me a little bit longer to get my shit together. And we've got a little bit of a journey ahead of us. Now, keep in mind, for now, my release of new episodes is going to be sporadic. I'm going to try to get at least two of them done a month, with the hope of I can get back on my weekly schedule. Keep in mind, I still have an awful lot of physical therapy that I have to do, and yeah, I got a few projects I got going. So anyway, don't be dismayed. There is going to be, and I'm working on it right now, the third annual Anti-Valentine's Day Extravaganza. First year, God, I went back and listened to that. Fuck me, I was very angry, but that was also very fresh. That was a fresh wound. Last year, I focused in on healing. That's what I did about a year later. This year, well, I'm going to let you guys in on some secrets that, honestly, I hope you never have to find out for yourself. And that is internet dating in the 21st century, in your mid to late 50s, sucks donkey dicks. And I'm going to let you know some of the horrible shit that I've had go on. So hopefully, you'll be able to laugh at my pain. I can laugh at it. It wouldn't be an extravaganza without music references. So you'll have to tune in and find out what it is I'm talking about that day. But it revolves around dating. So whether you are seeking that next ex-wife, or if you are seeking just some friendship. So, and I do plan on having that actually published by Valentine's Day, probably on Valentine's Day. So again, thanks for joining me. Thanks for coming back, listening, and we'll see you next time.
This has been Generation Extraordinary. The views and opinions are Rob's and Rob's alone. Any claims of time travel are purely fictional. The music and audio clips are not Rob's or GXO's, and in most cases were downloaded through his paid YouTube subscription and are only used for entertainment purposes. GXO is a production of Pulpeye Enterprises. Its host, creator, producer, and editor is Robert Pop. Co-producer is Harley Quinn. If you are a fan of the show, please show your support by going on to Spotify and follow us, like and share. It seems like such a small thing to do, but it really does help. For more information, support, suggestions, or to contact us, go to the website www.genxord.com. Thanks for listening.